Malo Elele.
Talo Falava.
I'm Hifo.
And I'm Adri.
And
welcome to the Speak On It podcast.
Today, we will be talking about the indirect impacts of construction. And we are joined by a person who needs no introduction, but we'll still give her one anyways. Pearl Lulu Tinoifili. I'll turn it over to her and let her do her thing.
Oh my gosh, hi guys. Your girl made it. Yeah. That's right. Hi, everybody. It's Pearl Tinoifili. Y'all already know who it is. I'm from Hayward, California, but my roots are in both Western Samoa as well as American Samoa. I'm an SF State student. It's my third year. I major in theater with a minor in CPIOS, Critical Pacific Islands Oceania Studies. And what I do at the moment is I also have a on-campus job, which is REACH. We do outreach to high school students as well as community college students, give tours and stuff like that. We're not really recruiters, but you can come to our school if you want to. And some plans for my future. To be honest, all glory to God that I'm still here, because I didn't really think your girl had a future until now. But I made it, and I'm here, and hey. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pearl, for nothing. No, I'm just playing. So Pearl is actually my cousin. Our grandmas are sisters. So if you hear me joking around with her, that's because this is a place of comfortability. Mm-hmm.
Okay, to ground ourselves in this conversation, what we want to do is a quick check-in. So our question today is, what is the most beautiful / aesthetically pleasing building that you have ever visited and why?
That's a good question. I'd say probably the Palace of Fine Arts. I went there like a bunch of times. Very aesthetically pleasing. Everybody be taking their prom pics over there and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
But why I thought you said biggest building, I was going to say Jonna, but... Oh! Just
strike
kidding.
That from the record.
Friendly fire. Right.
I would say for me, the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. It's in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
There's like a concert hall. And when I tell you, like, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And if I remember correctly, they have like a chandelier. Girl, I felt like I was in the audience of the greatest performance ever. It's a hard way to like describe it, but. And the acoustics in there, in that room, are very, like, beautiful. Everything about it was just beautiful, so.
What did you guys end up going there for?
I was on a college tour, part of CCSF, and we visited Washington, D.C., a bunch of historical sites, universities, and, like, museums or centers like that one. Yeah, but... It was beautiful. I would definitely go back. How about you, Hifo?
I feel like the War Memorial Opera House in downtown is pretty, especially when it's during Christmas because they set up certain colored lights. And then if you go in the inside, it's really pretty. I don't know. I just like theaters, but I guess that one just hits different for me. But yeah, just memories were held there too, so.
All right.
What, my answer not good enough for you?
No. That was beautifully executed. Here, let me give you some applause. That's enough.
Okay, to ground ourselves in this conversation, what we want to do is a quick check-in. So our question for today is, if someone were to construct something in your memory, what would you want it to be and why?
I feel like for me, I would want a bench in memorial of me.
Oh my God.
Okay, sorry. Say more.
Anyways, before I was rudely interrupted, just it being like a place of comfort, conversation, and connection, either like near a lake or a park. I'm really big on scenery. I love nature.
Period.
Yeah.
All I'm getting is that you want people to.
Okay, would you care to share yours?
On your face. No, I'm just kidding. I think I have to edit that out.
Yeah.
It's okay, no. We can keep going.
No, I think that's really beautiful. When you had first mentioned a bench, like, I'm not gonna lie, that's why I started laughing, because I'm like, a bench out of everything? But your description and, like, the intentional placement of where you would have it, I think that's very beautiful. Can I ask, would you add, like, cup holders to your bench? Because how can you have conversations and not, like, you know, a drink or
food?
I feel like that's, like, really big if you put a cup holder in your bench.
No, but is it not practical? That's one of my biggest things about benches, is that they don't have cup holders. So either I got to balance my drink on the bench, risk putting it on the floor, or just, like, hold it.
Yeah, I think a cup holder would be good.
So what about the table?
Might as well, like, yeah, add a little...
Might as well make it a reclining chair.
At this point.
So no on the cooler?
No,
just kidding.
No, I think something practical that you would or could put on the bench is probably something like a dispenser for sanitation wipes.
Mm-hmm. You're such a mom with that answer. I think something also practical, like, would you want it to be like under the trees, or... is there any specific, like, shade provided, or do you want it in the sun?
No, there definitely got to be some shade, especially if it's a memorial of me, because I'm always hot.
Right, right.
Okay. Figuratively and literally.
But I also know, like, you're somebody that, like, thrives in the sun, you know, whenever it's nice outside. You always want to go outside, too. So that's why thinking of a bench, like, I think a bench is a perfect... representation of, like, you. You know, the essence of you. Damn, that was good. How about you, Hifo?
I feel like I would want... what do you call it? I would want something, or like the thing I want constructed would be for butterflies, like a butterfly house.
Oh, like a butterfly sanctuary?
Yeah. Only because, like, you know, like butterflies, for people who are grieving, they say that if a butterfly lands on you, it's because somebody who has passed is watching over you. And I would want it, you know, just to have that memory that I'm always there. Yeah. Aww. But yeah, that's my answer.
What color?
Light blue. Like ocean blue? Ooh. Ocean blue and white.
It's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
I think for me... I struggled with the check-in question, and I was trying to get insight from both of your responses, but if someone were to construct something in my memory, I would want it to be a garden of remembrance with, like, a water fountain, you know, all the works, fairy lights in the nighttime. And, yeah, I don't know. I think when... I also think of, like, my loved ones, my ancestors. Like, flowers just come up for me. Like, my great-grandma, her favorite flowers were orchids, specifically, like, the purple orchids. And, yeah, I think that would just be a beautiful way to be remembered, and also somewhere where people could go and enjoy. And, yeah. A garden of remembrance.
Oh, my gosh. We could put all three of our things together.
That is true.
The bench in her garden and the butterflies.
Oh my gosh. That just works in like perfect harmony.
Yes.
We could be neighbors.
Man in the afterlife.
Chilling with my homies, like literally. We're gonna all be on Pearl's bench.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think it can hold all of us.
Oh yeah. Can you make your bench plus size friendly? Come on now, girl.
Of course.
In your garden of remembrance, what kind of flowers would you want to be planted there?
Marigolds. Marigolds.
What are that? What's that? Wait,
I think that's my birth month flower.
Never mind.
Wow.
I would definitely want orchids. Sunflowers, because my favorite color is yellow. Mm-hmm. I would also want flowers from like the Pacific Islands, like the Tiwila flower or hibiscus, even plumeria. Like, I want all of those. Oh, baby's breath. Yeah, it's like the white flowers. Yeah, that's a hard way to go about it. But yes, those are the kind of flowers I would love to be part of my garden. But then again, it is a garden, so like there's gonna be a ton. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of remembrance to be done. And it would be so funny if like each plot, it'll say like the actual name of the plant and then like what I called it. You know what I mean? Like how I would say it, because I don't know. I feel like I'd be making stuff up in my head, you know? Starting off strong with our first segment, Tell Me Something Good. Let's check in and talk about the positive impacts of construction. Now, Pearl, I'm interested to know, do you feel as if there are any positives that come from construction?
I think just from what I've noticed out here, no.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I understand where you're coming from. I think some positive impacts that we can talk about, though, and introduce you to is things like how Visitation Valley and Sunnydale is the Pacific Islander Cultural District, yeah. And then by creating this, construction has given PIs the opportunity to center, you know, indigenous values, yeah. Being able to tell our story by just having people in this space. You don't got to do too much. You don't got to do, it's not too little because you're actually in the space. I think it's also something that, you know, how mainstream construction, a lot of people believe that it erases, but at the same time, it also has the moment of creation, yeah? So creating with just deep respect for our people, having a place, and then having a way for PIs to have cultural restoration, keeping it like a time capsule.
Yeah, building off of that, I think it's important too that construction can be seen in a positive light. However, there are steps of accountability that need to be taken. And this is something we can talk about in our clock it portion, which is right after this. But just having like a guideline of what is going too far or what is not being representative of the community, or just like getting input from the community. Like, let me ask you this. Around where you stay at, is there any kind of construction going on?
Yeah, and they're fixing like the main street in front of my place. But I don't know, they really didn't need to because the street was perfectly fine. But now that they have done that, the streets are all wonky and stuff.
Oh, dang.
I'm like, so you guys aren't doing a very good job.
And it makes me wonder too, it's like, who made this call?
Yeah,
that there was a problem to be fixed. Whole time you're fixing something that ain't broke,
right?
That part.
Actually, I think one road that I'm appreciative of that did get fixed is the one right by here. On Sunnydale, yeah. Mm-hmm. So by SCDC, there's a new road that kind of goes by, like, you know, Brookdale, Blythedale, and I mean it's easier. It's been easier for like people who live right by there. It's an easier route to work now. I also remember when. Do you remember when Mansell was getting constructed? Or they were fixing that road because there was like three different potholes. No, that wasn't what we talked about. It was the Bayshore pothole.
Yeah, the Bayshore pothole. That one needs to just imagine you're like rolling, you know, you better hop on the freeway. You hit a pothole so big it turned your radio station. Like, that's what it was getting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even drive, but I know that pothole.
Yeah, and once you hit that pothole, you know, you're like, damn. Like, damn. But after a while, you know, it gets to a point where you know how to maneuver around it.
Yeah.
And then when they fix it, you don't immediately recognize it because you're so used to avoiding what was there. But something that I would do is, like, I would base it off of the car in front of me. Like, if I seen the car in front of me move up and down, I'm like, oh, yeah, pothole, or there's something in the road. Avoid at all costs. The improvements of roads. Wait, that just makes me think. How are you going to fix a road that's not broken? We got hella other roads that need assistance, the need to be revitalized.
Literally the amount of potholes on the freeway.
Yeah, so I guess my thought process right now is like, who is in charge of determining? Like, I guess that's more research to be done on, like, my end as a concerned citizen. You know, if I want to make active changes, I got to understand what systems are in place and also, like, who is in charge of what. Because I know the city of San Francisco has a city planning department.
Mm-hmm.
However, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know much more than that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's a good opportunity for the community to become educated. It's also good for the community to kind of give their input when it comes to construction projects like that. Because based off of some people being vocal, there have been a whole lot of construction in regards to the light rail. So, like, things like the T-train, the M, the K, etc.
The J.
Every alphabet.
The L.
Because a lot of people were talking about how they were wanting more stops, especially when it comes for, like, the T and for the J, I believe. A lot of people were noticing that they would have to walk far distances. Some people would usually have to take the bus to another stop just to get on that train. And then by that, Muni has taken the initiative to bring a lot more different new stops.
Yeah, because I feel like the distance between stops, it's a lot. Like, it's a good portion versus, like, bus stops. It's reasonable. It's like every other street.
Right.
But if you miss the T train, you got to go
heck of far.
Yeah, like, sometime. Let's say you enter or you try to catch the one on Bayshore. Mm-hmm. You miss that one, you gotta go all the way to Third. Right across from the 7-Eleven, that stop.
Yes.
As if you're going, sorry,
actually there's really no way for you to go to the next stop.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless you take like a bus and a bus and a walk and a, and
no,
a hike.
Yeah.
At that point, yeah. Just put your thumb out and hope somebody stops.
No, but yeah, they're just trying to make it more convenient. And some people were complaining that the T-train after where the Giants Stadium is by, they were complaining that right after that, it just took way too long to go to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were just trying to go to Chinatown right? So instead, they took out half of that route, and after you would get off by the Metreon downtown, it would take you straight to Chinatown. So there's been a whole lot of changes in a good way, yeah. I think it's also the fact that a lot of people were complaining that they didn't like the conditions that the train stops were in. So a lot of them have been reconstructing it to be more they were renovating it so that it could be more convenient for those who are waiting for the train, or they would just make it look nicer, you know, give it a makeover.
There's actually a M stop, the stop that's right before you get to Stonestown.
Yeah, that's for to drop off the Lowell kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like right between the buildings. There's no platform.
It's weird dangerous. And scary.
Have you like gotten off there before?
I have. I've waited over there because I missed the last stop. But no, I waited over there and like, yeah, no, I get a bit of anxiety because like, from an outside point of view, like, it's really close. Because, like you said, there's, like, no railing or anything.
Yeah.
And anything can happen. It's just a tight space.
Yeah, and I think in situations like that, it's where advocacy comes into hand. Because I wish there was, like, something. At least a barrier, at the very least. Or, you know how, like, for trains, they have those, like, arm things that come down.
It doesn't even have that there. That's why I was like, what in the world?
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. One time I almost drove into the tracks and the M was coming. Oh man. But like I said, because there's no way of really being warned. There's no like flashing lights. There's no...
You just gotta hear if the bell's ringing.
You gotta roll your windows down and just pray. But I guess another good indicator too is like if the students look up from their phones, you're like, oh, the M's better come. But speaking of the M, maybe I'm just a little hungry, but like the M stop, right? It's a Palestinian owned business, deli shop. I don't know. I just think it's really dope to have small businesses that are like based around, like, are themed around like transit. And when I was thinking of construction, like, what's the connection to construction? At least over here in Sunnydale, I always see the construction workers going to like the local corner store for lunch or somewhere that's not too far, like somewhere in the vicinity. And so I would definitely say that is a positive that comes from construction. The workers who support local businesses and kind of like boost the economy by doing that. Because I know I'd be hungry in my work.
Or just in general.
Okay, that's enough. But like for these folks with intensive labor jobs, they definitely need a lunch.
Right.
And they gonna get that lunch from our small businesses. So a win is a win.
A win is a win.
No. And Pearl, would you say that you're someone that relies on public transportation?
Oh, most definitely.
could you walk us through what a day in your life looks like commuting to school?
Yeah, so before I get to Forest Hill Station, I have to take the bus there, and like sometimes it's a long wait.
Which bus?
The 52. So like it's a long wait, and like if you miss it, sometimes it's an even longer wait because the next one isn't until like 30 minutes later.
Yeah. It's like the 54. It runs every 30 minutes.
And then with going on the train and everything, sometimes it's a hit or miss because, I don't know, lately there's been a lot of, like, difficulties with the transportation. Like, they've been shutting down every now and then. Like, if I'm trying to go home from school, like, all of us were waiting there for, like, almost an hour, and then finally a train came, and then they're like, We're still waiting 30 minutes. It's like, what do you mean? I was waiting here for an hour. Wow. But, yeah, I know. It sucks. This is why you need to get your license.
Speak on it. But
so with that being said, what do you feel like are improvements or positive improvements that could be made, especially given that construction happens at different places in the city affecting local transit?
I think definitely making more, not stops, but other like pathways to get to a certain destination. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think they're already doing good with like remodeling the trains as well to make it more accessible for certain people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more cleaner.
Man.
More cleaner and more like, I don't know how they constructed it. The seating is better. You're not very bunched up together. It's all like
spaced out
and yeah.
Even though we've been kind of talking about the negative parts of construction, there's also the possibility of it making like a new road, you know, like a new road that leads to a faster route. That's also a potential. It really depends. Because I know you talked about over here in Sunnydale and how they opened that new road that goes to like Brookdale, Blythedale. Mm-hmm. But I miss when Sunnydale was just open. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was a straight shot from my house all the way to work.
Yeah. I miss it too. Because it's whatchamacallit. Even the bus routes for the 9 have changed. So a lot of the, because you know how, like, the 9, it kind of, like, goes on Geneva and stuff? Mm-hmm. So they closed that whole road on Santos. So basically, if you miss the bus right here by the center, you'd have to walk all the way up that hill to kind of, like, get to the next stop. Yeah. But since we're talking about the negatives and negative impacts, we can move on to the Clock It portion of the podcast, where we talk about the indirect negative impacts of construction. So, I mean, we kind of covered it a little bit, but the effects on local transit. And the only reason why I really want to talk about it is because there was a moment where we had to pick up one of our seniors who would come for the senior program at SCDC. And basically, she was trying to attempt to walk all the way from Malosi all the way up to SCDC. But mind you, you know how like Malosi's closed, Sunnydale is closed, Brookdale's closed. So she would have to walk all the way around. So she would have to go through the towers, go up Geneva, and try to walk. Yeah. And
I wouldn't even do that walk.
Right. And I'm like, I wouldn't even do
no
that walk.
No such thing as an attempt.
Right. But it's just like, you know, because of the fact that they're so passionate about senior program, she wanted to make that effort at least. Which, kudos to her, because I would have been like, I'm sick. But it's just that everybody makes it seem like it's just, oh, like, it's so irritating. But it's actually, like, a really inconvenient thing. And I feel like we don't take an account for those who are, like, you know, single parents who don't have a car, seniors, those who just, you know, who...
That are unlicensed like me.
Yes, I was going to say, those who are unlicensed. But it's also for those that just, like, some roads are just so convenient, and when you change the whole route for transit, it just kind of messes a whole lot of people's routines that you don't really think about.
Well, aside from the people with no license, another group of individuals that I'm also thinking about are our students, our youth who rely on public transportation. I feel like with high schoolers, you know, they do a pretty good job of navigating the city. Ish. But with middle schoolers, like, there is a concern. And it's also a reality that they rely on public transit, too.
Right.
So if the route changes, like, how do you come back from that? Or how do you adapt to the situation?
Yeah. I mean, even those who are like Tay, right? It would be difficult, especially because, you know, there's no college campus in our district, in District 10. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's either we go to SF State, USF, or CCSF, yeah, to city. And even then, that's still a difficult kind of way to go. Mm-hmm. Especially if you live right in Sunnydale. I don't even know how you would get I don't know how you would get to any of these places.
Yeah, and then there's also the fact that, like, language accessibility is an issue. Mm. So let's say because of construction, your route changes. How is the bus driver supposed to communicate with you? Like, we don't drop off right in front of your house anymore.
Right.
Instead, we drop off, like, 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
Or even like, half a mile away.
How do you navigate a situation like that?
I mean, yeah, because if you, I mean, for those who, to like English isn't their first language. I mean, y'all couldn't give me a pamphlet or something. But even then, even if they do that for the community, right? It's just the language barrier. I can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just. I don't know. I don't know how I would.
Okay, this is something else that I'm going to clock.
Mm.
And I think I noticed it over here, like on my way to work and everything. But because of the construction, I noticed they always have like a police presence there. Mm-hmm. Or like there's at least like one, you know, cop car that's parked there. And I don't know about everyone else, but for me, while I'm driving, even though I know I'm not doing anything wrong, like I get so much anxiety as if I'm going to get pulled over or, you know, like the worst case scenarios keep running through my head. And yeah, I don't know. I just associate it the most with when I'm going through construction sites, which is why I personally see that as a negative.
Right. I think a negative that we did touch base on last episode and we'll touch base on it again is there's damn parking.
Yeah.
The parking gods are never in our favor.
Actually, I got parking this morning.
No one asked.
Oh, no, actually, I did peep that.
I saw your car.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, good for her.
Yeah, no. But, like, today, I just feel very fortunate in that, but...
No, Pearl.
Where I used to park is literally where they're doing construction. When I couldn't find parking here in front of the hub, I would park, like, a street down.
Mm-hmm. No, but even then, it took us, like, 30 minutes... to find some parking.
Because a lot of them, like, you think it's an open space, and then there's this sign that says, oh, construction park. Taking place from, like, and it'll have, like, a month of range. And I'm like, damn, no wonder why people ain't parking here. And then if it's not construction, then it's street cleaning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so do you guys have a designated parking spot for where you stay at?
I think the residents at my place, we have garages, shared garages, though, like with our neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
But everybody mostly uses it for like storage or something most of the time.
And park on the street.
Yeah, but we do park on the street, like across the street.
How has that been since construction's been taking place around your area?
It's actually not that bad because they're constructing like right in front of my place instead of across the street at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I live in like a nice area that you would think that nobody would be breaking into cars or whatever. But they done broke my mama's window, so we had to park the. Wow, never felt so disrespected in my life. But anyways, yeah. No, so now we park the car in the garage.
That's
I mean, I feel like that's also something to talk about, yeah, is like the the risk factors when it comes to construction in your area.
What if something just fell on my car or you know, like they're working with materials and shoo,
no, stuff, for some real. Final Destination stuff.
Ooh. I love Final
Destination. Okay. Clock it. Negative
for real.
No, but I feel like that's such a real thing because I think I saw a movie and then there was a woman driving and then there was a backhoe that backed up.
A what?
Is that not what it's called?
Wait, what did you say?
I'm about to look it up before I say something else that gets me canceled.
I heard it.
Yeah, a backhoe. It's okay. Like a loader.
Say more.
But basically, it backed up into the street, like past the construction line of the cones. And then it basically crashed into her car. And she survived, but everybody in her backseat died.
Wait, is it the metal stuff or the... Because I'm thinking about Final Destination.
That was on the freeway.
No, it's like a drama movie. So it's kind of a movie talking about grief and addiction. Because she did get addicted to painkillers. Mm. Yeah. And the reason why is because, you know, she had to go through surgery and stuff. And then painkillers, addiction, but also like the grief, because I guess the people in the backseat, they were her partner's sister and her partner. So basically, yeah.
Why was her partner sitting in the back?
No, not her partner, but the sister's partner.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was the sister's partner and the sister, but the main character was in the front driving.
By herself?
Yes.
So because she was given Uber?
No, they were on their way to, I guess, her partner's place. I guess they were getting ready for a dinner or something.
All right. Let's just focus.
Have some empathy, man.
Sorry. No. But, you know, like, just to re-mention, like, the risk factors when it comes to construction. I mean, that's something I fear. Because, you know, even walking down the street to go to your house is kind of like, I don't know if I'm safe.
No, that's true too, because there are some days, actually most days, where I would walk to the studio instead of driving because I'm trying to like lower my environmental impact anyways and get my steps in. But the sidewalk, there would be like an open, like, trench, that's what they call it, an open trench on the sidewalk, and the way that they fix it, I guess, or like temporarily put something over, they put like a metal plate on top of it, and I'd be walking on them, and I'm like, bro, one of these days, God forbid, like, I'm just gonna drop, and I'm gonna end up on the news, not for a great reason, and yeah, that's a very valid concern, but also just like the amount of people who rely on sidewalks.
Man.
Sidewalks are part of construction too.
Yeah.
And what are you to do if like the whole road's blocked off and you're in like a residential area surrounded by houses? You want me to go through somebody's backyard to get to where I need to be? There's gotta be like a designated area.
Right.
By which I can travel. And even like downtown, I feel like this, I see this a lot downtown too. When they're working on a building, they'll have like the scaffolding like there. And then it's usually covered with like tarps and stuff. But there's a certain point of it where you can walk through, and that's the sidewalk.
Yeah, no, that's dangerous.
No, right. It is.
I don't feel no type of safety or comfort walking through it. And like, you know, as they're doing the construction, you hear all the noise and things can fall. Anything can happen.
Yeah, and then you look down, you walking on cardboard.
I'm dead, but what? Yeah.
I feel like that's a universal experience. If you haven't done it at least once, you have not lived. But
oh god,
for you, Pearl, are you able to hear like the sounds of the construction from like your room?
Yeah. Especially, I don't know why they decide to do construction early in the morning.
Man, does that come up?
I'm like, bro, why do I hear a loud old drill at like 7 a.m.? I'm trying to stay in bed.
I think, well, I don't know how this would go about, but I do think, like, construction sites, not the workers, not placing the blame on the workers, but they should be mindful of, like, their hours of operation.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, local traffic and everything. Like, if you're doing construction near a school zone, it would not be ideal for you to work while the kids are getting picked up.
Yeah, and I would get it if, like, you know, the main reason as to why they not don't care or whatever, but do it at whatever time is that they want to get it done faster. But 9 times out of 10, it takes them longer than what they're supposed to be, like,
I'm
fixing
sorry,
everything.
Are you a contractor?
Just from my observation.
Right. As a concerned citizen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like that's also because of the fact that when it comes to new construction projects, there's still a lack of community input for, like, new spaces.
Yeah,
because it's like some people, sometimes, yes, complaints and stuff, they do a number, which makes it convenient for citizens. But I feel like there's still, well, when it comes to D10, there's not a whole lot of moments where they'll actually ask the community or even just inform them about what the project is about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there are, like, more recently, there's been more opportunities that come with being part of the planning committee and being part of these conversations. But it just doesn't, like, entice, you know, local community members, mm-hmm. or at least for me. Like, yeah. If I see a notice about it, I don't have the urge to attend, or mm-hmm. I really just don't have the time. And that's probably why I don't have an urge to attend.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think, again, going back to this whole, like, hours of operation, if this meeting takes place when I'm at school or when I'm at work, like, it's just not doable for my situation.
Right.
So I feel like there should be more alternative options, like a suggestion box. A suggestion box would be great. Or just having people vote, like,
yeah,
you just put it on social media. Which one is better, plan A or plan B?
Right.
Here are the details.
Right. I feel like that should have been, or it should be more practical for the generation now.
Mm-hmm.
I think what a lot of people are not understanding that the, you know, the younger kids that they think are still young, they're now adults, aka us. We're now adults. And I feel like just shifting the way that things are, you know, played out, it should just be adjusted to what age group you want it to be at. And usually it's the younger generation that has a whole lot to say, which, you know, it could be beneficial, but, you know, people just don't really want to change from the verbatim. Yeah, because there's been a whole lot of calls about the, you know, like, the new apartments or the new housing by the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
There's been, like, a whole lot of complaints about that. And it's basically because of the fact they didn't have the initiative to talk to community.
I also think they could incentivize it too. Like, Pearly, if someone told you, if you take this survey, you'll get a $25 gift card to wherever, would you do it?
Most definitely.
Right, because we broke college students.
For real.
We will do anything for a gift card, like any survey, any interview, you name it. But to that point, if people are aware of, like, an incentive, it would increase the likelihood of them participating. But at the same time, on the opposite end, like, as somebody who is willing to participate, it's a nice, like, compensation for my time. Like,
mm-hmm.
because you're helping me out with this, let me get you back in this way.
Right.
To recap everything we covered within this episode, the positive impacts include cultural districts increasing visibility, updating existing infrastructure, and a call for community input and engagement. The negative impacts include effects on local transit, health and safety risks, and overall a lack of community input. The landscape of District 10 is changing, with revamped buildings, new streets, an effort to increase the community awareness. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. The cost of living is going up. People are getting pushed out. And a lot of the decisions are being made at places which our people are not represented. Like many longtime residents share, this is home. It's not just a space to build on. We've got history, culture, and community, and that matters. So yeah, growth is cool, but only if it includes us. Let's make sure we're not just watching things change, we're shaping how it changes too.
Okay, it is now time for my favorite part of the podcast, which is
Stand on business,
where we challenge our listeners with a small call to action for the week. So this week's challenge is to post a picture or a short video showing what home in District 10 means to you. It could be your family, your block, your favorite food spot, or a cultural tradition.
And for those that don't reside within District 10, we still open this challenge and call to action to you. Just go ahead and share it with us on Instagram at BigPurSF with the hashtag Speak It Into Existence.
And right before we close out, we want to give space for our guest, Pearl, to share any final thoughts or anything that you took away from this, you know, just chopping it up with us.
I just want to say I'm grateful to even share space with you guys and have the opportunity to be on this lovely podcast. Guys, she isn't holding me against my will.
Whoa. Twice, blink twice.
But I don't know. I think any conversation I have with you guys is very meaningful and impactful. This is a conversation that, you know, I didn't really have much thought to, but now that we talked about it, I could think about it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time out of your day to just come down and be a part of this project for us.
That's all the time that we have for today. Please be sure to check out our other episodes and keep tapping in with us. I'm Adri.
And I'm Hefel.
With our special guest,
Miss Pearl.
And thank you for listening to the
Speak On It podcast.
This episode is made possible by the Samoan Community Development Center in partnership with the Pacifica Urban Roots Collaborative and funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. A big thank you to the Hub SF, our sound engineer DJ Bilal, and our producer Daniel Danny Boy Naha Ve'evalu. To learn more about the SPEAK program, visit scdcsf.org and click on the Community Research tab. There, you can access our report.